We poison the air, we poison the land, and we poison the water we drink. And we're the only known creatures in the whole universe with the ability to think. But we keep on thinking, having this life and how much we buy and sell. And more of paradise is lost, and only time will tell what will become.
This bill will allow America to make cleaner and more productive use of our domestic energy resources, including coal and nuclear power and oil and natural gas.
That is President Bush signing the energy bill into law this week, and he also said this bill is not going to solve our energy challenges overnight. We're speaking this half hour with Bob Borisaj. We'll get his impression. He is the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future, also on the steering committee of the Apollo Alliance, which is all about growing our renewable energy dependence. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
My pleasure.
So is this going to solve our energy challenges ever, if not overnight?
That not only doesn't solve them overnight, it makes it into a long, dark night before you see any improvement. This thing makes us more dependent on foreign oil, more dependent on fossil fuels. It's really just a cesspool of subsidies primarily going to oil and gas companies and a real default of leadership.
A cesspool of subsidies for the status quo. I like that. Are you surprised by this, given what's going on in the world, or not at all?
Well, it's easy to be cynical and say, look, oil and gas companies are the most powerful lobbies. This is the most corrupt Congress. It's not surprising they ended up here. But, you know, we've got people dying in Iraq. You've got gas prices at $2.50 a gallon. You've got manufacturing jobs seeping out of this society. And you've got this amazing opportunity to drive us to an alternative energy future that's desperately needed for the country, for the globe, if you care about global warming. And this Congress and this president have simply put their head in the sand and went along with the biggest lobbies and ignored what was both an opportunity and an imperative for the country.
Now, when they talked about how it's going to promote renewable energy, nuclear was included in that. What do you think of nuclear power as an alternative?
Well, nuclear power has never been able to make it commercially without massive guarantees, and no one's ever figured out what to do with the waste, which is poisonous for only 26,000 some years in its half-life. So it's certainly not the renewable energy of choice. The real thing about this is, though, the president had this opportunity, and I think any leader of America had to grab the opportunity to make this country a leader in the transition to renewable energy and into energy independence. And instead, what he's done significantly is changed his rhetoric. He now sounds like he's a member of the Apollo Alliance in many ways, talking about renewable energy and energy efficiency. But the bill he signed and pushed is really a subsidy for oil and gas price companies while they're making the largest profits that they've ever enjoyed.
Well, it's, you know, clean skies. It's once again using language to fool Americans. Do you think they are being fooled or fueled, as I probably would say?
I don't think when you go to the gas pump, you're being fooled much. And I think Americans understand when they see the television set with American men and women dying in Iraq that this is a president that's not leading us in the right direction.
I mean, we have a mother whose son was killed in Iraq, you know, parked outside, you know, his ranch in Crawford, Texas this week. We have, you know, daily news about climate disruption and how it's being felt now in the form of hurricanes and melting polar ice caps that are, you know, being felt in weather patterns here. It's just, I keep coming back to this. It's hard to imagine, you know, sort of a confluence of events being, you know, more compelling than what we're facing right now between terrorism, war, climate crisis, particulate pollution. We haven't talked about health impacts of, you know, burning fossil fuels. And yet, it's a status quo, business as usual. Have we learned nothing?
Well, I think the public's ready. The public gets it. The public understands. You know, we with the Apollo Alliance, we laid out a $30 billion a year investment agenda, create 3 million jobs, capture the green markets of the future. It's massively popular. At 85-90% popularity in opinion polls. It's popular among industrial workers. It's popular among environmentalists. The public gets this. What you have is, in Washington, a massive failure of leadership out of the White House, and a Congress that really is bought and sold. That is just, the majority is simply corrupt, and they're running a racket now, the protection racket for themselves in terms of campaign contributions, but they're simply not looking at what the country needs.
Okay, so let's talk about what is happening that's positive, and that's what's happening at the state and local level. And maybe, you know, a critical mass of mainstream Americans do get it. How can people find out more about the Apollo Alliance, get involved, and, you know, just let the federal government get out of the way?
Well, you can get to the Apollo Alliance on our webpage, www.apolloalliance.org, and that takes you into both the plan and what's going on, reports on what's going on at the state level. And what's going on at the state level is very exciting. You've got governors now that are starting to compete to make their states a center of the transition to renewable energy and to energy efficiency. One of the most interesting things has taken place in Pennsylvania, where they passed a standard that requires that 18% of the state's energy come from clean or renewable sources. And they've really pushed to create, for a manufacturing sector in the state of Pennsylvania that's just disintegrating, to create a market that will attract companies. And already you've got a Spanish wind power company that's come in with plans to locate 18 wind farms in the state, create 1,000 jobs, and put its North American headquarters there. And I think you're going to see other states starting to step up to this in ways that are very exciting.
I'm glad you mentioned wind. Was there much in this energy bill that would really encourage more production of wind turbines? They said it would. How does that compare with some of the other allocations?
There was a small set of subsidies for wind and solar, but in comparison to the need and in comparison to what they gave away to the oil and gas companies, it was insignificant.
Mm, just lip service once again. So do you agree with Mark Hertzgard that if we just began with conservation and eliminated waste, we'd be so much farther along? I would assume you do.
Yeah, I think energy efficiency is the first easy way to get savings. That's what we've done, you know, in the past where we've used, we've massively increased the efficiency of the oil we do use. There's a lot more to be done there, and there's huge savings to be found. You know, one of the things that we've been pushing is simply a bill to help public schools move to efficient buildings, energy-efficient buildings. If you do that, you obviously save money on the school budget that can be used for teachers instead of given over to the energy companies. And so if you start with public buildings, you rebuild the built environment. This is a massive jobs program and a massive energy efficiency program that can significantly save us a lot of energy. And, of course, that says nothing about moving to hybrid cars that are already available, et cetera.
Exactly, and you know, even beyond, even cleaner than hybrid, and I'm a big fan of those. This energy bill is going to be with us a long time, is it not?
I think at the federal level, we will gear up an effort to challenge. I think Democrats will try to make this a defining issue in the election, and we will gear up an effort to do another energy bill. But, you know, it took a decade to get this one.
Worth the wait?
I
no.
I suspect it's going to take a new president to get a better one. And so I think the action is going to be at the state and local level where you've got bills going forward to invest in alternative energy. You've got bills going forward to create higher efficiency standards for buildings. There's going to be, I think, an initiative in Oregon to try to create an integrated plan to move that state dramatically to a more efficient and renewable energy base. I think citizens, there'll be a lot of places at the local level where people can get involved directly in campaigning for progress.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the Campaign for America's Future.
Campaign is a progressive center of action and ideas that really is focused on kitchen table issues, bread and butter concerns of Americans, and how you make this global economy work for working people. And we do, we've done a lot of work around issues ranging from health care to Social Security to jobs. That's how we really got into the Apollo Alliance, which is we were stunned at this notion the president was trying to huckster that moving to renewable energy and energy efficiency would cost us jobs, when in fact that transition is one of the great jobs generators that we could do. And if we could capture the lead in some of these green markets that will be the growth markets of the future, it will make this country's manufacturing sector much stronger and create real jobs here for Americans.
Yeah, I love that when he says it'll cost us jobs, it'll wreck our economy, it'll raise energy prices. Well, last time I checked, you know, we already, you know, are losing jobs, especially when you look at the dinosaurs in Detroit, GM and Ford, not having seen the demand for fuel-efficient vehicles, you know, having all these problems because of also their health care systems in place for years. But, you know, we are losing jobs. We are paying, at least here in the Bay Area and in pockets around the country, close to $3 a gallon for gas already. And wreck our economy. How about wrecking the planet and you know, really compromising our quality of life for our kids, if not us?
You got it. And, you know, what has to be clear to people is there is no future in this road that we're on. Gas prices will continue to go up. The demand of the Chinese and and India as they come online to the global economy is just going to soar.
We thought we were thirsty and gas guzzlers.
And global warming is going to get worse dramatically unless we change course, and there is no security in the shifting sands of the Persian Gulf. And so, you know, it is just nuts that we're not taking the leadership on this.
And to quote the late, great David Brower, there are no jobs on a dying planet. Do you think this is hitting home for enough Americans in our remaining minute before the break?
I believe that if you could get Democrats to challenge the president frontally on this and offer a big, bold, like the Apollo program, a concerted drive that would mobilize science and do what we did when we put a man on the moon, I think you could get people that would start to vote on this question.
Okay, well, we're going to talk a little bit more about what lies ahead and what we can do, because the consequences of staying the course in the status quo, as you said, are so dire that it is nothing but despairing and depressing. But we'd like to be a call to action as well as a wake-up call here on EcoTalk. So stay with us for some good news about how you can get involved and make your country a better place than our leadership is appearing to steer us into. You're listening to EcoTalk on Air America Radio. We'll be right back.
Per month. For free quotes, call 800-670-LIFE. That's 800-670-LIFE, or visit lifequotes.com to view the lowest rates.
We use so much and waste so much. How much do we really need? And how long can a dream survive that seems to thrive on greed? Political pollution is so thick and dark and dense. It contaminates and poisons common good and common sense. Let's take our heads out of the sand.
Welcome back to EcoTalk, and if you're getting a little tired of that theme song from our friend Bob Wickline, it's because we haven't taken our heads out of the sand yet. At least we haven't got them to hear us in Washington, D.C., and we're trying. Maybe we should just give up on Washington, D.C., and just do it ourselves. And that's what we're talking about this half hour with Bob Borisaj. He is the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future, and it appears, Bob, that some of that future is in the hands of states.
Yeah, I think after you've seen the failure of this energy bill at the national level, action is going to take place and leadership is going to take place for new energy at the state level. I talked to you earlier about Pennsylvania and what they did in terms of renewable sources in Washington, the state of Washington. In April, they just adopted a green building standard for all state buildings, and it will lower their energy costs and demands, create a market for green energy production, and begin that state in a leadership position. Governor Richardson out of New Mexico has been putting together a clean energy program and involving all 18 states that are in the Western Governors Association and starting to make New Mexico a center of solar energy and renewable energy and energy efficient initiatives. And so I think you're going to see at the state level and at the urban level efforts that really start to move real bills that make a real difference. The Apollo Alliance, which is an alliance of labor unions, environmentalists, business executives, and the civil rights community, is now moving into different states and different urban areas. It's got a major project in New York City, for example, that is going to try to push real initiatives that can make a difference in the energy uses of urban areas and can make a difference as jobs programs as you start to rebuild the built environment to make it more efficient. So I think that's going to be where the action is that's positive and it's got energy, and I recommend people get involved in that. And the way to do that is, the easy way to get clued into some of that is to go to our website, which is www.apolloalliance.org, and take a look at that state.
I think that was somebody calling to sign up for the Apollo Alliance in the background there. See what an impact we have immediately. I didn't mention that I was going to ask you about this, but you just reminded me. A couple of weeks ago, there was this story that broke about the U.S. and Australia and India being part, and a few other countries being part of this sort of Kyoto alternative, that they were going to be leading a drive to invest in clean technology to address climate change. And I didn't hear much more about it afterwards. Are you aware of that? I don't even know what to call it.
I think that the president is trying to find some public relations initiative that gets him out of the hole of being simply out of step with the world.
And gets Karl Rove off the front pages.
And so I think you'll see, one of the fascinating parts of the national debate is this sort of classic turn by Bush where Frank Luntz, the Republican pollster, has done extensive polling and has shown that the language of the Apollo Alliance about creating jobs through moving to energy independence and investing in renewable energy and energy efficiency is very popular. So now the president describes this slug of a bill as if it were that. He's adopted all of the language and none of the substance. And it demonstrates their understanding of how popular this is, even as they're unwilling to move to any kind of a new position.
Just as he did leading up to the passage of the energy bill, blaming Congress for holding this up as if that's the reason you're paying high gas prices.
Right. Well, don't expect your gas prices to go down anytime soon.
Hey, I like high gas prices. I don't mean to impose hardship on anyone and get glee out of that. But as a, two hybrid car family, people, that's what it takes to get people to focus on fuel efficiency. And I realize not everyone can go out and afford to buy a new car, but now there's even some used hybrids in the market. But
you
we need to demand more.
You just laugh as you go by those gas stations. Huh?
I was behind a very petite woman. She must have been about 5'0" at the gas station. She was in a Ford Expedition or Subdivision, one of those giant ones. And I filled up. We just got a new hybrid SUV, the new Lexus, which doesn't get great mileage, 26 to 29, but it's better than the average SUV. My husband drives that one. I don't really like SUVs anymore. I have a Don't Be Fueled Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles campaign, which is almost anti-SUV, but really just pro-cleaner SUV. Anyway, there I am sitting there. The Lexus SUV hybrid filled up in about a couple minutes, and it just kept going and going. And I wanted to get out and just look at what her gas bill must have been. And then, of course, you need a stepladder to get back into this vehicle, which she was all alone in. And you just wonder, are those people getting it? And I don't mean to put individuals down, because as a nation we really haven't woken up yet. But, man, it has to be hitting them pretty hard.
Well, I'm certain that it's hitting people in their pocketbook and in their travel plans. There's no reason to think gas prices are going to come down anytime soon.
Exactly.
Keep going up. But, when we move this stuff at the state level, we will have to go back to the national debate. This is going to require national leadership, and it's going to require a concerted job. The reason we called the Apollo Alliance, named it after Apollo, was when Kennedy did the Apollo moonshot program, he announced that we would put a man on the moon in 10 years. And no one had a clue how to do that when he announced it. And what that did was create a concerted drive that mobilized science and technology and creativity and got the entire society involved in the spirit of this project, which ended up, of course, putting a man on the moon.
You have to create the vision first.
And there is no reason why America can't be energy independent of foreign oil and move to become the leader in moving to renewable energy and energy efficiency and create enormous jobs along the way. The Apollo Alliance plan, which is on our website,
which is
a 10-point plan that calls for an investment of $30 billion a year. It creates 3 million jobs. It makes us energy independent. It makes us a leader in the green markets of the future. And by generating the growth that it creates, it actually repays the money that it costs at the end of the process. And, of course, even if it didn't repay it, $30 billion is half of what we're paying every year for the Iraq war. And so there's no way we can keep the course we're on.
We only have 30 seconds left, Bob. A website again?
The website is www.apolloalliance.org. And the call for leadership is utterly needed.
Ditto. And the website for us is www.ecotalk.net. And you've been listening to a conversation with Bob Borisage. He is co-director of the campaign for